that allowed me to read. I would allow me to read. That's the answer. For a lot of people out there never say that. If we could play.
And thank you to Upstart Radio, now broadcasting Third Paradigm
Upstart
at upstartradio.com.
Welcome. UpstartRadio.com.
It's a brave new world.
Produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
You do not have to be livestock. The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened. But no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself. The word cult has always been used as an empty ad hominem attack against unsettling truths. Let us take a look at this word cult and use it with real precision about existing social institutions. For authoritative British usage, the compact Oxford English Dictionary of Current English defines cult and sect as cult. 1. A system of religious worship directed towards a particular figure or object. 2. A small religious group regarded as strange or as imposing excessive control over members. I have left out the fanboy definition of cult. Sect. 1. A group of people with different religious beliefs, typically regarded as heretical, from those of a larger group to which they belong. 2. A group with extreme or dangerous philosophical or political ideas. Studies of religious, political, and other cults have identified a number of key steps in a type of coercive persuasion. 1. People are put in physically or emotionally distressing situations. 2. Their problems are reduced to one simple explanation, which is repeatedly emphasized. 3. They receive unconditional love, acceptance, and attention from the leader. 4. They get a new identity based on the group. 5. They are subject to entrapment, and their access to information is severely controlled. Ovid once said, "Treason doth never prosper." What's the reason? Why, if it prosper, none dare call it treason. If a man successfully overthrows the king, no one calls him treasonous because he now has the power to execute others. We could equally say, cults never prosper. What's the reason? Why, if they prosper, none dare call them cults. Let's look at a few institutions that truly fit the definition of a cult. The army. Funded through violence against citizens. Commits murder and genocide. 1. People are put in physically or emotionally distressing situations. Boot camp. Combat. 2. Their problems are reduced to one simple explanation, which is repeatedly emphasized. Obey orders. They receive unconditional love, acceptance, and attention from the leader. You are heroes. 4. They get a new identity based on the group. Uniforms, medals, rank. 5. They are subject to entrapment and their access to information is severely controlled. Stop loss, unilateral contract changes, lies about joining up, military censorship. A cult or sect is, quote, a group with extreme or dangerous philosophical or political ideas. It is heroic and highly moral to rob citizens in order to pay people in costume to murder by the thousands any group you point at. Would you consider that a dangerous philosophical or political idea? Religion prospers by lying to and bullying utterly dependent children. Commits emotional and verbal abuse against the helpless, and all too often pedophilia. Denies condoms to AIDS-ridden countries, justifies and supports wars, and so on. 1. People are put in physically or emotionally distressing situations. Hellfire, damnation, social ostracism, circumcision, original sin, and so on. 2. Their problems are reduced to one simple explanation, which is repeatedly emphasized. Obey the priest, give money. 3. They receive unconditional love, acceptance, and attention from the leader. God loves you. 4. They get a new identity based on the group. Muslim, Christian, Jew, born again. 5. They are subject to entrapment and their access to information is severely controlled. How many people have read the entire Bible? What happens to a family if the father begins to doubt the existence of gods and the virtue of superstition? State schools, funded through threats of violence against parents, denies choice, traps children for years, makes kids slothful, resentful, bored, frightened, aggressive, and significantly impairs their cognitive development, a truly coercive form of kidnapping. 1. Children are put in physically or emotionally distressing situations. Confinement, fear, boredom, rote repetition, mockery, humiliation, punishment. 2. Their problems are reduced to one simple explanation, which is repeatedly emphasized. Obey the teacher. Get good marks. The state solves all problems. 3. They receive unconditional love, acceptance, and attention from the leader. Praise for obedience and dumb regurgitation. Punishment for disobedience and original thinking. 4. They get a new identity based on the group. Patriotism is a virtue. You are a citizen. 5. They are subject to entrapment and their access to information is severely controlled. Parents cannot choose state schools. Children are not permitted to leave. Must complete assigned reading and regurgitate statist propaganda. And their parents will be violently aggressed against if they do not pay for this brutal indoctrination of their children. cults never prosper, you see. Because if they do prosper, they become governments and armies and religions. They become culture. Nietzsche. Insanity in individuals is something rare, but in groups, parties, nations, and epochs, it is the rule. Think of the absurd cultural beliefs that people somehow think are really true. The military. Hitmen who murder for money are stone evil, unless they put on a green costume, and then they become moral heroes. The government. The government must use the threat of violence to steal half your income in order to protect you from violence and theft. Christianity. The belief that a cosmic Jewish zombie who was his own father can make you live forever if you symbolically eat his flesh and telepathically tell him you accept him as your master, so he can remove an evil force from your soul that is present in humanity because a rib woman was convinced by a talking snake to eat from a magical tree, and so on. Gases expand when heated. This is not a statement of culture, but of science. Mathematics is not cultural, but rational. Einstein's theory of relativity is not cultural, but factual. Logic and science are not local cultural customs, but objective and rational methodologies. My goal is to move philosophy from culture to truth by reasoning from first principles with reference to empirical evidence. Culture is that which is not true, but is believed to be true. Religion, patriotism, militarism, political allegiances, all the supposed virtues of accidental geography. Reasoning from first principles is dangerous to culture. Since culture is always revealed by philosophy as irrational prejudice, indoctrinated through propaganda and the threat of violence. Culture is the opposite of philosophy and truth, just as superstition is the opposite of science and proof. Culture is only the first syllable. Cult.
Today our topic is the revelations of Zosh. In his 1996 book on the rise of far too many lectures, the noted sociologist repeatedly uses the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as a model for understanding the growth of far too many lectures. The Latter-day Saints rode out of the desert. Early in the 20th century, the famous historian of antiquity, took a year's leave from the University of Berlin to study the Latter-day Saints in Utah. Mormonism, he concluded, is just another of countless sects. Such comments don't surprise Latter-day Saints. From the beginning, we've understood our church and the doctrines it teaches as not yet transformed Mormonism. It proclaims itself as the original dry ground in the midst of the sea. Joseph Smith hit upon people, merely another American denomination. We come out peculiar, Urim and Thummim. Mama, the Murray is literature. It is impossible, unintelligible. Ethics have no place in it. One can think what one wants, but one thing is certain. One, two, three, four, five, man. Once one begins to look, it turns out that you shall die. Let us die together. I have dreamed a dream. which strikes us as redundant.
Last one. Well, they'd made up their minds to be everywhere, because why not? Everywhere was theirs because they thought so. They with two leaves, they whom the birds despise. In the middle of stones, they made up their minds. They started to cut. Well, they cut everything because why not? Everything was theirs because they thought so. It fell into its shadows and they took both away. Some to have, some for burning. Well, cutting everything, they came to the water. They came to the end of the day. There was one left standing. They would cut it tomorrow. They went away. The night gathered in the last branches. The shadow of the night gathered in the shadow on the water. The night and the shadow put on the same head. And it said, now. Well, in the morning, they cut the last one. Like the others, the last one fell into its shadow. It fell into its shadow on the water. They took it away, its shadow stayed on the water. Well, they shrugged, they started trying to get the shadow away. They cut right to the ground, the shadow stayed whole. They laid boards on it, the shadow came out on top. They shone lights on it, the shadow got blacker and clearer. They exploded the water, the shadow rocked. They built a huge fire on the roots. They sent up black smoke between the shadow and the sun. The new shadow flowed without changing the old one. They shrugged, they went away to get stones. They came back, the shadow was growing. They started setting up stones, it was growing. They looked the other way, it went on growing. They decided they would make a stone out of it. They took stones to the water, they poured them into the shadow. They poured them in, the stones vanished. The shadow was not filled, it went on growing. That was one day. The next day was just the same, it went on growing. They did all the same things, it was just the same. They decided to take its water from under it. They took away water, they took it away, the water went down. The shadow stayed where it was before. It went on growing, it grew onto the land. They started to scrape the shadow with machines. When it touched the machines, it stayed on them. They started to beat the shadow with sticks. Where it touched the sticks, it stayed on them. They started to beat the shadow with hands. Where it touched the hands, it stayed on them. That was another day. Well, the next day started about the same. It went on growing. They pushed lights into the shadow. Where the shadow got onto them, they went out. They began to stomp on the edge. It got their feet. And when it got their feet, they fell down. It got into eyes. The eyes went blind. The ones that fell down, it grew over and they vanished. The ones that went blind and walked into it vanished. The ones that could see, it stood still, it swallowed their shadows. Then it swallowed them too, and they vanished. Well, the others ran. The ones that were left went away to live, if it would let them. They went as far as they could, the lucky ones with their shadows.
If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every stop I get to, I'm clocking that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bonafide hustler, sitting on trains. Every stop I get to, I'm clocking that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame.
democracy. Yeah, I got more records than the KGB. So, no funny business. Are you already on?
God is irrelevant. Bob.
We're here again mixing some things.
You, Bob, what do we do?
There are a couple of things you should consider.
All types of lewd behavior. Lewd and depraved behavior.
Elizabeth Dole. Godless American.
Don't ask, don't tell. Homosexual behavior. Homosexuality. Bob, kill somebody? I gotta say, Bob, a state of vegetation. Faith really doesn't mean much of anything. Some people even think it's irrelevant.
There are a couple of things you should consider. American.
That's true. I guess I just urge you to think.
Well, first of all, at the risk of sounding heretical, I don't think it's useful to cast this argument as being anti-Zionist or pro-Zionist. And I certainly don't think it's useful to cast the argument as being pro-Israeli or pro-Palestinian. I am not pro-Israeli, I am not pro-Palestinian. The issue is an issue of justice. Whether you are for a just settlement or an unjust settlement of the conflict. And I think as soon as we adopt the vocabulary that points to the heart of the issue, namely the injustices that are being inflicted in the Palestinians, we have a greater possibility of winning over allies than getting involved in these kinds of ideological, theoretical, and doctoral thesis topics. Nowadays, the committees around the campuses across the country are called Justice for Palestine. I think that's right. That's an advance. And it's a remarkable fact, I do a lot of lecturing on the topic, it's a remarkable fact that when you go to campuses across the country, who comprises these Justice for Palestine groups? Almost always, it consists of secular Jews, and in many cases, as in the case of our person over here, it consists of practicing Muslim women. And in many of the campuses, it is practicing Muslim women who are playing the leading role. And in a very moving way. I don't just say that, I experience it. I've had my troubles at, you know, trying to preserve a job. And the university where I'm currently at, there were efforts made to have me move on. And the students were very supportive. And, you know, I make no bones about my convictions. You know, obviously I am not a believer. I am an atheist and I am a communist, the whole thing. But my biggest supporters have always been the observant Muslim women They've been wonderful. No, it tells you something. It tells you something. It tells you something about the possibilities of people from very different backgrounds working together in a common goal of justice, and also tells you something about the silly stereotypes about Muslim women. I remember at one point it looked like I was going to be bounced out of my current school. The students put up some big protests, and I had to meet with the president. And I was going to the president's office accompanied by the chair of my department. And behind me was like sort of like out of the Pied Piper of Hamelin, students started to multiply to follow me. And they came to the president's office and they sat in. And the president gave directions to the secretary to tell the students to clear out. And she did so. And a young woman named Rahan, Rashid, observant Muslim woman, she came over to me and she said, "Professor Finkelstein, do you want us to stay or do you want us to go?" I was really touched. She was so tough, but not tough in a brutal way, tough in a morally strong way. She has enormous dignity, very bright dignity. And she knows my politics, she knows my views about God or the lack thereof and so forth. And that didn't make a difference. My point is, if you project it the right way, justice for Palestine. Don't get bogged down in Zionist this and that. Justice for Palestine. You can reach out to lots of people. There's a world out there to be won. The cause is just, it's not complicated. And I don't want to toot the horn of Jews. I've never been accused of being a Jewish chauvinist, and I'm not about to start now. But it's often forgotten, but definitely worthy of remembering. On every occasion, we all read about the international solidarity movement, the young people, and not always young people, who've gone over to the occupied territories to risk their lives, literally, to defend the ordinary rights of Palestinians, the rights to a home, the right to dig a well, and they're really courageous. It's not a false modesty on my part to say I don't have their courage. They're really very impressive. One is dead, one is brain dead, one's face was completely shattered. They're an impressive bunch. But it's also true to say, not but, it's also true to say one third of them are Jewish. That's a very impressive show. You know, Jews, what they constitute, 0.00000001% of humanity. But one-third of the ISM are Jewish. The struggle can win over a lot of people. If we phrase it right, do it right, we can win.
Upstart Radio.